This week's parsha is Parshat Nitzavim, and as I've said, this is the last shiur for Tavshin Nun Bet. What I would like to do is read a number of psukim in Parshat Nitzavim that really goes to the very heart of an understanding of the period of time in which we live. Chapter Lamed, chapter 30 in Sefer Devarim. V'hoyo ki yavo alecho kol hadvarim ha'eleh. And it will come to pass when all of these things happen to you, habracha v'haklala, the blessing and the curse, asher natati lefanecha, that I place before you, v'hashevota el avavecha b'chol hagoyim, you will return, you will do tshuva, return to your hearts, to your real essence, amongst all the nations, asher hidichacho Hashem elokecha shomah, that God had dispersed you there. Shafta ad Hashem Elokecha, you will return to God your God. V'shamata v'kolo, you will listen to His voice. Kechol asher anochi mitzavecho hayom, according to all that I command you today. Ata uvanecha v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha, you and your children with all of your heart and with all of your soul. There is going to be a process of tshuva. There will be suffering. Both bracha and klolo will come upon the Jewish people out there in the exile, in all of those places to which Jews have been shunted and pushed, and you will return to God your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul. V'shav Hashem Elokecha et shvutcha, and God is going to bring back your captivity, v'richamecha, and there will be a special act of love and mercy. V'shav v'kibetzcha mikol ha'amim, He will gather you in from amongst all of the nations, asher hafitzcha Hashem Elokecha shomer, that God had dispersed you there. It makes no difference where you will be. Even if you are cast out at the very ends of the heavens, from there God will gather you in, and from there He will take you. God, your God, will bring you to the land that your fathers inherited, and you will inherit it. He will do good for you, and He will make you more than your fathers. We hear the promise of kibbutz galiot, the ingathering of the exiles, tshuva. God is going to bring Jews back. He is going to, in a sense, compensate for all of the years of suffering. And God is going to fashion your heart and the heart of your children to love God your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, in order that you should live a life that is in a spiritual sense eternal. The second time that we've heard v'chol nafshecha, you will return, in Pasuk Bet it said, you and your children, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha. Here again, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha. V'natan Hashem Elokecha kol ha'olot ha'ele, alo yivecha, v'al son echa asher edofucha, and all of these curses will come upon your enemies, those who hate you, those who pursued you throughout all of history. V'yatot hashuv, you will return. Shamata b'kol Hashem, and you will listen to the voice of God. V'asita et kol mitzvotav, and you will do all of His mitzvot asher anochi mitzavecha hayom, that I command you today. There is, in a sense, I mean, you should notice it already, there's all sorts of repetition going on over here. In Pasuk Bet it said, v'shavta, you will return. It said, v'shamata b'kol, you will listen to His voice. V'ata tashuv, now in Pasuk 8, you will return. V'shamata b'kol Hashem, you will listen to the voice of God. You will do all of His mitzvot that I command you today. V'oticha Hashem elokecha b'chol ma'aseh yodecha, God will add and make abundant to you in all of the works of your hand, v'fri vitnecha, v'fri vehemtecha, v'fri admatcha l'tovah. He will add and He will expand you in the fruit of the womb, the fruit of your animals, the fruit of the land, all for good. Ki Yoshuv Hashem Lasus Alecho Letov, God is going to turn and be full of joy with you to bring good upon you. Kasher Sos Alavotecha, as he had been full of joy with your fathers. Ki Tishma Bekol Hashem Alokecha, you will listen to the voice of God, your God. Lishmor Mitzvotav Vechukotav, to keep all of his mitzvot and his statutes. Haktuva the Sefer HaTorah Azeh, that are written in this Torah. Ki Tashuv Al Hashem Alokecha. This is a pasuk where we find all of the basic ideas that have already been said twice are now being said for the third time in this pasuk. That you will listen to Kol Hashem, Bekol Hashem. This is the third time it says Shemata Bekol, Bekol Hashem. Ki Tashuv, you will return El Hashem Elokecha, to God your God. Bekol Vavcha, Bekol Nafshecha. Again, for the third time, with all of your heart and with all of your soul. I hope that by the end of this year we will understand what's taking place in this parasha, but first we have to understand it on its both on the one hand very fundamental but also very profound level. What we have just now learned is the parasha of tshuva, the parasha of repentance. What the pasuk says very clearly, all of the psukim, the whole parasha, makes it very clear that there is a direct relationship between repentance and redemption. Tshuva and geula go hand in hand. You will do tshuva, I will bring you back from wherever you may be. They seem to be inextricably intertwined. This is the only place where we hear about tshuva, and together with it we hear of geula. There is one other place where tshuva is mentioned in earlier in Sefer Devarim. Turn back to chapter 4, pasuk 26, in Parashat Vayetchanan. Chapter 4, pasuk 26. The parasha has been talking about you're going to come into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to turn toward idolatry and pagan and heathen practice. Ha'idoti b'chem hayom, I testify, I warn you today, and I bring as witnesses at Hashemai v'et ha'aretz, heaven and earth, ki yavo toveidun maher me'al ha'aretz, you will be lost quickly from upon the land, asher apam ovrim et ha'yarden shom al-rishta, that you cross now this Jordan in order to inherit it. Lo tarichun yamim alav, you will not remain there for long, ki shamei ti shamei, you will be destroyed. Ve'hefit Hashem etchem ba'amim, God is going to disperse you amongst the people, v'nishartem mitei mispar, you will remain but a small number, few in number, ba'goyim, amongst those nations, ashiyinaheg Hashem etchem shama, that God is going to lead you there. Galos, exile, as the punishment for idolatry. Vavadetem shaman, out there, you're also going to serve gods that are masi yedeyoda, made by man, eitz ve'even, out of wood and stone, asher lo yirun ve'lo yishmon, they don't see, they don't hear, lo yochum ve'lo yirichun, they don't eat and they don't smell. But you know what's going to happen out there? U'bikashtem yishon et Hashem Elokecha. Out there, amongst the nations of the world, you're going to seek out God, your God, u'matzatan, you will find him. You'll seek him out and you will find him. Ki tidrishenu b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha. Because you're going to seek him and go after him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. And here is the pasuk, batzar lecha. When you are going to be in terrible straits, when it's going to be difficult, when there will be suffering, u'mitzaucha kol hadvarim ha'elo, all of these things are going to happen to you, ba'acharit hayamim, at the end of days, Shafta ad Hashem Elokecha v'shamata b'kolo, you will return to God your God and you will listen in his voice. Precisely the words that we have in our parasha here. Ki keil racham Hashem Elokecha, God is a merciful one. O yardecha v'lo yashritecha, he will not weaken you nor destroy you. V'lo yishkach et brit avotecha, he's not going to forget the covenant with your fathers, asher nishba lahem, that he swore unto them. These are the two parshiot in Torah that talk about tshuva. And hand in hand with tshuva comes the idea of redemption. God will bring you back, and he will shower you with good, and he will be full of joy. He's going to make up to you all of the suffering of all of those centuries. Then we have one question to deal with. There are those amongst us who see the events of this century and certainly the events of the last 50 years as being part of the process of redemption. Reishit Tzmichat Geulateinu, that the establishment of the State of Israel is the beginning of the flowering, the blossoming of our redemption. It would seem quite clear from both Parshiot and Torah that we've just learned that tshuva and geula, redemption and repentance, go hand in hand. Can we say that there has been repentance? Can we say that the masses of Jews are shomrei Torah mitzvahs, are observant of Torah and mitzvahs? If there is no tshuva, it would seem to be that there's some kind of an optical illusion. It's a mirage that we're looking at. This is geula. This you call redemption. So that's really what we're going to deal with today. Don't get worried. You know, of course, where I'm going to take you to. You know what the end is going to be. Fear not. We are in the process of Reishit Tzmichat Geulateinu, the beginning of the blossoming of our redemption. Question is, how am I going to fit that into two parashiyot in Torah? So first of all, you have to know that there is a famous machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tzadik Zayin Amid Bet. I'm going to just read a few snatches of that machloket. And that machloket really is going to make all of the difference in the world, how we look at it and how we understand it. And then we're going to have to see what is it that Rishonim and Achronim, the great of all generations, what have they said about the relationship between tshuva, redemption, and repentance. Says the Gemara the following. Torah Rabbana, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Rabbi Eliezer says, Im Yisrael osin tshuva nik'olin. If Israel does tshuva, if they repent, they will be redeemed. V'yim ein osin tshuva, and if they don't do tshuva, they're not going to be redeemed. Rabbi Eliezer makes a very, very clear statement. Tshuva, repent, return to God, then there will be redemption. Otherwise, no redemption. Amalei Rabbi Yehoshua said to him, sort of a rhetorical question, Im ein osin tshuva, ein nigolin, if they don't do tshuva, they're not going to be redeemed? Does that mean, in a sense, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that would mean that this situation can continue until eternity? You know, Klal Yisrael doesn't do tshuva, so there's no geula. Can you imagine, you know, at a busy intersection, someplace in Yerushalayim, two cars come to the intersection at the same time. Who's going to move? What do you mean, who's going to move? You move! No, you move! Of course, until it finally comes to them yelling at one another. And then one fellow is going to turn off the car, turn off the key, walk out of the car, and he's going to wait. I'm not moving from this spot. Absolutely not. I'm not going to move. My key, I'll leave it. I should go. Not you. Rabbi Yehoshua is saying, "Im ein osin tshuva, if they're not going to do tshuva, they're not going to be redeemed." So we're talking about a situation that may continue on into eternity. No tshuva, no geula. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo up there is waiting, and incidentally, he is waiting. One of the most unusual brachot in the Shemoneh Esrei, and we say it three times a day. It's different, nearly different, dramatically different than all of the other brachot. What are the brachot in Shemoneh Esrei? Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you God, Goel Yisrael, the Redeemer of Israel. Blessed are you God, Mevarech Hashanim, the one who blesses the years. Blessed are you God who is who forgives. And then there's one bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you God, Harotzeh B'tshuva, who wants tshuva. Do you know what that means? In a sense, he's dependent on us.
He wants us to do tshuva. He wants, but what can he do? What can he do? He has to wait. So in a sense, kiviyachol, so to speak, God is dependent upon us. So Rabbi Yeshua is saying, this can turn into a classic eternal standoff between God and the Jewish people. Nothing is going to happen. We won't do tshuva, he won't bring Gaula. Rabbi Yehoshua assumes that that's an absurdity. It's impossible. It can't be. We're going to see why he holds that it can't be. All right, so here we have the machloket. Here we have the machloket. Rabbi Eliezer makes it clear, if there is repentance, there's redemption. No repentance, no redemption. Rabbi Yehoshua says, can't be. What Rabbi Yehoshua is really saying is, even if Israel does not do tshuva, there will be redemption. The next word in the Gemara here in Talmud Bavli, in the Babylonian Talmud, is the word Elah. Elah. But. Which would indicate that according to the Talmud Bavli, the next sentence is a continuation of the words of Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Yehoshua, who said, even if Jews don't do tshuva, they will be redeemed. If they don't do tshuva, they won't be redeemed. Elah, so what will be? So what's the end going to be? HaKadosh Baruch Hu ma'amid lahem melech shekzeirotav kashot kahaman ga, will bring a king whose decrees are going to be as horrible as Haman's. Great suffering. V'yistor leishim tshuva u'machazidan mutav. Israel does tshuva and God will bring them back. Which means that even Rabbi Yehoshua seems to be saying that there must be tshuva as well. But if they're not going to do tshuva of their own free will, then the tshuva is going to be something that will be coerced. The suffering will be that great that Jews will do tshuva. But that's not the way it appears in Talmud Yerushalmi. In Talmud Yerushalmi, the word is not Elah, but the word is Aleph Lamed with two strokes over there between the Aleph and the Lamed, and it makes all the difference in the world. According to the Yerushalmi, this last statement of the Gemara is a response of Rabbi Eliezer to Rabbi Yehoshua. Listen carefully. Rabbi Eliezer says, if they do tshuva, they will be redeemed. No tshuva, no redemption. Says Rabbi Yehoshua, what are you talking about? If they don't do tshuva, they won't be redeemed. This will go on into eternity. Omalei. Not Elah, but Omalei. Rabbi Eliezer is responding to Rabbi Yehoshua, and he says, you're worried that according to me, this is an impossible situation that will continue on to eternity? That they're not going to do tshuva, and therefore there will be no redemption? So you know what? God is going to bring about circumstances whereby he will coerce Jews into doing tshuva. According to the Rishonim, therefore, to sum up, according to the Rishonim, Rabbi Yehoshua remains with his position. Even if there is no tshuva, God will redeem the Jewish people. Rabbi Eliezer says there must be tshuva. And if Jews are not going to do tshuva on their own, God is going to coerce them into doing tshuva. All right. The Gemara then goes on to bring psukim. Rabbi Eliezer brings psukim to indicate that there is tshuva. Without tshuva, no geula. Shuvu bonin shovavim erpa meshuvotechem. Yirmiyahu says in the name of God, God, Jews, do repent, and I will heal you. But Yeshua brings a passage that says, nah, God is going to redeem the Jewish people even in the event that they don't do tshuva. Keeps going back and forth. Each one brings psukim to present his position, until finally Rabbi Yehoshua brings a pasuk in Daniel, where Daniel describes a vision of someone raising his hands heavenward, swearing by God, an oath, Ki lemoed moadim v'chatzi u'kichlot nevetz yad am kodesh v'tichlena kol ela. Basically, an oath that is taken that after a certain period of time will pass, redemption will come. A pasuk that says an oath has been taken by God that there will be redemption, and it says nothing about tshuva. That means there's a time at which Geula must come, regardless of whether we are worthy or not. The next few words in the Gemara are Vishatak Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer remained silent. Rebbe Eliezer's remaining silent means Shtika, silence is Kahuta'a, as acquiescence. That means even Rebbe Eliezer in the final analysis agrees that even if Israel does not repent, they will be redeemed. Alright? So, first of all, we have to elaborate on this, number of problems we're going to have to deal with. Ultimately, of course, we're going to have to come back to our two parashiyot in Torah, Parashat Nitzavim and Parashat Vayet Hanan, that do make a very clear relationship between redemption and repentance. We're also going to have to deal with the Rambam. Of course, we're going to see that the Rambam in Hilchot Shuvah takes a position that is different than most of the other Rishonim. The Rishonim make it clear, first of all, that the halacha here is like Rabbi Yehoshua, and it's fascinating. Are we talking about whether you can eat something or you can't eat something? Osir, mutter. We're talking about, you know, the meaning of a period in history. It seems, as far as the Rishonim is concerned, it's extremely important to know and to understand the events of history in light of Torah. How are we supposed to look at a period in history? And therefore it was important for them to say who the halacha is like. You understand? This is a fascinating shaila about which they paskin, and they paskin like Rebbe Yehoshua. First of all, there's a general rule, Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yehoshua. Wherever there's a machloket of Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yehoshua, the halacha is like Rebbe Yehoshua. Furthermore, over here in the Gemara, the Rishonim tell us it seems quite clear that Rebbe Eliezer sort of lifts his hands and gives up at the end of the Gemara, because Shatak Rebbe Eliezer remains silent. In the Talmud Yerushalmi, it says the Istalik Rebbe Eliezer left, murdered himself. The debate was over. Rebbe Yehoshua had the last word. Rebbe Zundel Misalant once said, an indication in our Gemara that the halach is like Rebbe Yehoshua is because the Gemara that immediately follows the machloket between Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yehoshua and is introduced V'omar Rebbe Abba, and Rebbe Abba said, this seems to indicate that what is going to follow in the Gemara is a direct continuation of what was said before. The Rebbe Abba that the Gemara is now going to quote is a Rebbe Abba that should be very well known to many of you. Anybody who's been attending my shiurim here for more than a year has had to have heard it dozens of times. V'ama Rebbe Abba. Rebbe Abba says, Ein lecha keitz migula mizeh, there is no greater revealed end of days. What is the great revealed end of days? In other words, an indication quite clear that this is it. We're in a special period of history. Shenema, and he quotes the pasuk in Yecheskel that I've always wanted you to learn it bal peh. If somebody wakes up in the middle of the night and they ask you the pasuk, you should be able to say it. Yecheskel says, Va'atem hore Yisrael am pechem titenu ufer yechem tisu li am Yisrael ki kervu lavo. And you, mountains of Israel, Atem hore Yisrael, Antechem titenu, give out your branches, uferiachem tisu, and carry your fruit, la'ami Yisrael, for my people Israel, ki kervu lavo, because the time of their return is drawing close. Says Rashi, what Yecheskel is telling us is that when Eretz Yisrael begins to give out fruit and produce in abundance, then it's because the land knows that Jews are getting ready to return. And Ein Lecha Keitz Migula Mizeh, there is no greater revealed end of days. For 1900 years, you aren't able to grow anything in this country. And all of a sudden, during the period of the past century, Eretz Yisrael started to produce fruit. We've become exporters of grain and fruit to the world. This is not simply only because we've worked the land.
All the people who tried to work the land and they never succeeded. The Ramban in the Chukotai that we learned says that this is a blessing for the Jewish people, that the land is going to be desolate until they return. Nobody else is going to ever be able to colonize this land. They can try and try and nothing is going to happen. The only ones who will ever be able to bring any kind of produce or fruit out of the land will be the Jewish people. When you see that Eretz Yisrael is beginning to give out fruit, then you know what? It's because the land knows that Jews are in the process of coming back. And that's referred to as the Keitz HaMigula, the revealed end of days. Wait a minute. I'm just going to read from a letter that was written by Rav Kook. And he says the following. He talks about the greatness of the Jewish people, the coming of redemption, HaMidgalelanu b'chol eit, that is revealed to us at every time, at every moment, the Eretz HaChaim, in the land of the living, Ayidei Keitz HaMigula, through the revealed end of days, shall Horei Yisrael, the mountains of Israel, HaNe'evadim v'Nizra'im, that are being worked and are being planted, HaNosim Privanav, that are bringing out fruit and branches, La'am Hashem Asher D'Roshuhu, for the people of God who have sought him out. And then he goes on to say the following. Listen to this statement, very powerful statement. If somebody is going to want to come up with new ideas with regard to tshuva, new insights into tshuva bizman hazeh in our days, and he's not going to look at the Keitz HaMigula, the revealed end of days, and the light of salvation that shines to the Jewish people, Lo yuchal lechaven shum dovor lamitata shel Torat Emet, will never, ever be able to approach or reach the truth of Torah under any circumstances. There is only one way to be able to look at the events of this century, and not only at the events of this century, therefore an understanding of what the Jewish people are all about and what is the meaning of repentance, without Keitz HaMigula. Keitz HaMigula, as I say, I have said it often enough and I'm going to say it again. If you want to pray to God, you go to the Kotel. If you want to see God, you go to Machne Yehuda. Just made it up. I think this is going to become a quotable quote. Yes, absolutely. It sounds pretty good to me. I say it time and time again. How many times I've told you that when I was here as a student in the middle 50s at Yisrael, and I was zeicher to have one of the first apples that had grown in Eretz Yisrael, and here I was, you know, the American who'd come here to learn, and I take a look at what they called an apple. It became me finster before the eyes. This is what they called an apple. It was an apple that was unworthy of being called an apple. And 25, 30 years later, you understand all sorts of apples, all kinds, green, Muzhav, red, Granny Smith. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting? In America, they call it the same thing, you know? guarantee that the land knows when Jews are coming back. And therefore the land is going to respond to the ministrations of Yiddish hand, Jewish hands that are going to plant and plow and water. The land knows. And Chabad says, Ein Chokeitz, Migula Mizeh, there is no greater revealed end of days. Says Rav Kook, one cannot approach the whole idea of tshuva in this century without fully feeling with every fiber of one's being the idea that we are living in the period of Keitz HaMigula. Reb Zundel Misalant is the one who said,
Why does the Gemara bring Rabbi Abba right after the machloket of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua?
In order to tell you that in terms of redemption, there are completely different considerations that operate in the world, and in Eretz Yisrael bifrat, which means that even if there is no tshuva, you look around and you don't see tshuva. What do you see? A trickle of Balei Tshuva here and Balei Tshuva there. The masses of Jews are not Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs.
But the land is giving out its produce. Then you can be absolutely certain that you are in the period of redemption.
All right. The Rambam is the one who says, that Ein Yisrael Nigol in Israel will not be redeemed without Tshuva. Torah, and the Torah has already guaranteed Shesof Yisrael La'asot Tshuva Besov Galutan. The end is that Israel will do Tshuva at the end of their exile. Umiyad Heinigolim, and immediately they are redeemed. Shen Ne'emar, and the Rambam quotes all of these psukim in Nitzavim. He takes sections of each one of the psukim. The Rambam brings this Gemara, this Parshin Torah, that there must be tshuva. So of course we now have a problem with Rambam. Problem is, first of all, a machloket between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. The halach is like Rabbi Yeshua. Number two, Rabbi Eliezer removed himself. He remained silent, or he ended the debate. For all intents and purposes, even Rabbi Eliezer is saying that he agrees with Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua is right. Third of all, we have the Gemara that says immediately afterwards, Ein lecha keitz migula mizeh, there's a revealed end of days, regardless of whether Jews have done tshuva or they haven't done tshuva. I just want to read a number of quotations from Rishonim, the Ramban. So first of all, it's worthwhile. We're not going to have a class on the Shabbos of Parshat Hazinu. Let's turn to Hazinu for a minute. It's worthwhile during the course of the next few weeks, you should learn through Shirat Hazinu, the song of Hazinu. It is magnificent. The song of Hazinu is the story of the Jewish people. It's the story of the history of Klal Yisrael. Zechor Yemot Olam, Birushna Dovador, remember the days of old, understand the years of every generation. The only way in which you can understand what's taking place in your generation is from the perspective of history of all that has come before. And in poetic form, in shiro, in song, Moshe Rabbeinu tells us the whole history of the Jewish people until he comes to the very end of history. In chapter 32 in Devarim. Pasuk 36, I'll just quote a few psukim here. And I want to get to the last pasuk and what the Ramban says there. Ki yadin Hashem amo gadil, God is going to judge His people. Va'al avodav yidnecham, and He will regret all that happened to His servants. Ki yideh, because God is going to see ki oslat yad. There's no strength left anymore. He's going to take a look at a Klal Yisrael weakened nearly to the point where it would seem as though the curtain is coming down on Jewish history. That there's also for also there's no wealth, nothing left. They've become a poor, exhausted people. For Omar, people say, Eil of Tema, where is his God? When Klal Yisrael suffer, it's synonymous with Kilul Hashem, that's a desecration of God's name. Where is God? Tzur Chosoyubo, the rock, the strong one in whom he trusted. Where is God? Pasuk Lamed Tes, Ru'u Ata, see now, Ki Ani Anihu, I'm here. Ve'en Elokim Imadi, there is no other God with me. I am the one ultimately, Omid V'Achaye, I bring death and I bring life. And the life is going to come after it seems as though there had already been death. Machatzti, I am the one who crushed, but Bani Erpa, I am going to heal the wounds of Klal Yisrael. The enemies of Israel, Ein Miyadi Matzil, there's nobody who's going to be able to save them from my hand. God lifts his hand, takes an oath that the enemies of Israel are going to suffer. Esel Shemayim Yadi, you are mighty, and I've lifted my hand to heaven, I've said, Chayon Ochi Lelam, swear by God, I, God, who exists forever, that the Shanoti Bidakarbi, I'm going to sharpen my sword, the Tokaz Bimishbat Yadi, my hand is going to bring justice. Oshiv Nakon Letzarai, Ula Vilimisanai Ashalem. I'm going to take revenge of Tzarai, those who oppressed me. Vilimisanai Ashalem, those who hate me. I will pay them back.
Who are the ones who hate God? The one who hates Israel hates God. The one who causes Israel to suffer causes God to suffer. Bechol tzaratam, the Navi says, whenever there is suffering to them, lo tzar. God feels that suffering. Ashkir chitzai midam v'charbi tochal basar. My arrows are going to be full of blood, and my sword will cut through the flesh. Midam chalov v'shivya meidosh parot ayos. Last pasuk. Harininu goyim amo. Nations of the world sing about his people. Kidam avadav yikom, because God has taken revenge. He has avenged the blood of his servants, Menachem Yoshev Litzarov, to those who oppressed him and them throughout all of history. He will repay them. The Chiperat Matalamo. And his people will find forgiveness in Eretz Yisrael. Says the Ramban, the last Ramban on Parshat Hazinu. Ramban says the following. What period of time is Moshe talking about? When is this going to happen, that God is going to take vengeance of the enemies of Israel? When is all of this going to happen? When is God's sword, so to speak, going to be dripping with the blood of the enemies of Israel? When is all of this going to happen? When will they return to Eretz Yisrael? Says the Ramban, I'm just going to, a few quotations, says the Ramban. V'zed dovar boru, this is absolutely clear, ki al ha-gu'ula ha-atidai ha-tiyak. Over here, Moshe Rabbeinu is giving a guarantee and a promise for the ultimate gu'ula that is going to come. What he means is, this is not talking about Jews returning from the Babylonian exile in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. It's got to be talking about the third return, which is the return taking place in this century. The ones that we are living witnesses to, and not only living witnesses, but we are partners, participants in that third return. So the Ramban says this is for sure, that he's talking about the ultimate return. Why? What did the Pasuk say? Harininu goyim amo, the nations of the world are going to sing about Klal Yisrael. So he says, what are you talking about? The Binyan Bayit Sheni, when they built the second Beit HaMikdash, lo hirninu goyim amo. None of the nations of the world were singing about the Jewish people. Rak lagu aleim. They made fun of them. They mocked them. Ma Yehudim ha umlalim osim. What are these unfortunate Jews trying to do? Understand, Ezra and Nehemiah come back with 42,000 people, and they tried to rebuild the Yerushalayim from the ruins. It's a garnish, we've garnished. It takes many, many years. And the great of Israel were servants to the kings of Babel and Persia. The Kulam Mishubadim, all of Israel was enslaved to him. We were a banana republic. We were no more than a province, one province of the mighty Babylonian and then the mighty Persian Empire. The Goyim in the world was singing about the Jewish people? All of a sudden the Jewish people were sent to stage? Absolutely not. You know, like Gelecht of the Jewish people. Enemies from within, enemies from without, took 150 years until they achieved independence in the days of the Hashmonaim. But the return? What are you talking about? Ramban says, Moshe Rabbeinu could not be talking about that. Nobody was singing the praises of the Jewish people. God didn't take any revenge of the enemies of Israel. They did not find kapara, forgiveness, on the land. Most Jews didn't come back. What are you talking about? This pasuk can be talking about the return in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. Cannot be. We could, of course, say without any difficulty that the pasuk is describing the third return of Jews. But the most important point that I want to make in the Ramban is, Ramban says the following,
V'hine ein bashira hazot tnai b'tshuva v'avodah. In the entire song of Hazinu, which describes the third return to Eretz Israel, there is no condition of serving God or tshuva. Ein bashira hazot tnai b'tshuva v'avodah. It's unconditional. It's not conditioned on Jews doing tshuva or Jews serving God. Rakishtar edut. This is a document that bears testimony that we are going to do evil, and that the end is, after God will bring suffering upon us, lo yashbit zichreinu, he's not going to forget us, v'yoshuv v'yitnaten, he's going to do tshuva, so to speak, and he is going to regret, v'yifra min ha'ivim, and he's going to punish the enemies, v'charbo ha'kasho, with his sword, he's going to forgive our sins, Leman Shemo, for his name's sake. We may personally be unworthy. We have not done tshuva, but harininu gayim amo vidam avodav yikom. This is all going to take place, though we have not reached the point of repentance. In Cain, if so, he concludes by saying, Hashiva hazot havdacham vuedet. This song of Moshe is a clear guarantee of and promise that there will be a geula to come, and that geula is not going to be dependent on any kind of tshuva. In this, there is a Sefer HaGeula that was written by the Ramban, and there he brings the machloket of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua, and he says it very clearly, V'hu Rabbi Yehoshua, that Yehoshua came v'nitzcho L'Rebbe Eliezer. He was victorious over Rebbe Eliezer. That Rebbe Yehoshua is the victor in this debate. We may yet come across all sorts of other Rishonim who are going to say the same thing. But let me at this point tell you of another machloket between Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yehoshua, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. There's a machloket between Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yehoshua. For that matter, throughout Shas, there are differences of opinion between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Eliezer says, "Benisan Nigalu, the Jewish people were redeemed in the month of Nisan, u'betishrei atidin lehigael, ultimate redemption, the final redemption is going to come in the month of Tishrei." Rabbi Yehoshua says, "Benisan Nigalu, Jews were redeemed in the month of Nisan, Exodus of Egypt, and the ultimate redemption is also going to come in the month of Nisan." Obviously, there is a clear relationship between the Machloket of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yehoshua and Masechta Sanhedrin and the one in Rosh Hashanah. What is Rabbi Eliezer saying in Masechta Rosh Hashanah? Jews were redeemed in the month of Nisan, but the ultimate redemption is going to come in the month of Tishrei, because he sees Geula as a Tishrei experience. A Tishrei experience is a Tshuva experience. And therefore Rabbi Eliezer says, Im Yisrael osin Tshuva, if Israel does Tshuva, they will be redeemed. If they don't do Tshuva, they won't be redeemed. What is it that Rabbi Yehoshua says in Masechta Rosh Hashanah? B'Nisan Nidalu, they were redeemed in Nisan. And they were redeemed in Nisan, though they were unworthy. Don't we know all of the statements of our rabbis that Jews were at the threshold of being completely assimilated in the mainstream of that dominant Egyptian society, and would God not have taken them out at that moment, they would have, God forbid, disappeared. Which means we're talking about a people that were unworthy, but he redeemed them. B'Nisan Nigalu, and Rabbi Yehoshua says, B'Nisan Atidin Lehigael, in the month of Nisan, they're going to be redeemed in the future. What does he say, therefore, that ultimate Geula is? Not a Tishrei experience, but rather, it's going to be a Nisan experience. A Nisan experience means an experience, even though Israel may be unworthy, but there's going to be an act of God. V'Hotzeiti, I'm going to take them. I'm going to take them out. So that these two machlokot between Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yehoshua really bring to the fore the difference of opinion between them. In terms of the other Rishonim, there are many Rishonim who say that nearly all, I would say, hold that the halacha is like
is like Rabbi Yahushua, therefore there will be redemption. There will be redemption even in the event that Israel is unworthy, or they haven't done tshuva. But it's not that simple. Let's say that it's not that simple for a number of reasons. Because there's another problem we have to deal with. How are we really going to understand Rabbi Yehoshua? How are you going to understand? Rabbi Yehoshua says that if Israel does not do tshuva, they're going to be redeemed. Let me ask you. Let's be honest. You really call that redemption? In other words, God is going to bring Jews back to Eretz Yisrael. There'll be Chil Shabbos and eating of treifas and kol davarasa, and there are going to be drugs and traffic accidents, mishugoyim on the roads, all of the horrible things that are going on over here. This is the redemption that we were waiting for and we were praying for the last few thousand years. Is that really what it was all about? Is that really what Rabbi Yehoshua means? That yes, God is going to bring us back to Eretz Yisrael, it will be another Western state with all of the depravity and the degeneration that we find in all sorts of Western states. This is it. This is the goal of Shlema, and that's it. Yeah. The number of the Rishonim. So first we did the Ramban. Similar words are said by the Radak. The Vilna Gaon. Keitz Achron. The final end of days. Lotaya B'tshuva. Not dependent on redemption. Kemosha Katum, because it says, Yeshayahu says, Lema'ani, Lema'ani Eseh. God says, for my sake, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Not because of anybody else's chutz, but for my sake. The Or HaChaim in Parshat B'chukotai, in Parshat Bahar says, Keitz Achron, the ultimate redemption, Yeshno comes. Afilu Yisrael Rishoyim Gimurim Chas V'Shalom. Even if Israel will be absolute Rishoyim, end of days will come. So on the one hand, this is a tremendous a guaranteed, a great promise. The question, of course, that we have to deal with is this is the Geula, this is what we've been praying about and singing about for all of these years. Rav Moshe Chaim Litzato says, Hinei afilu lo yezchut b'Yisrael, even if there will be no zchut, no merit to Israel. Kishiyagia eit moed, when the time comes, Hinei al kol ponim yoshienu, God will save us under all circumstances. Ki adon hakol hu, because he is the master of all, v'yochol lasot ken kishehu rotzeh, he can do whatever he wants and when he wants. He doesn't have to wait for anybody to give him permission. Now you can bring the Geula, and maybe now you don't bring the Geula. No. He does what he wants. He does what he wants. Of course, what this is all related to is the famous machloket in the Gemara on the pasuk. Not machloket. I'm sorry. The Gemara talks about two possibilities for Geula to come. Two possibilities for redemption. Ani Hashem, I God, be'ita in her time, achi shema, I will hasten the coming of the Mashiach. So the Gemara asks, listen, if it's be'ita, if it's in its proper time, then it's not hastened. And if it's hastened, it's not in its proper time, says the Gemara. Zachu, if Israel is worthy, God will hasten the coming of the Mashiach. If they are unworthy, it will come in its time. In other words, there is a set time at which history, natural history begins and messianic history ends and messianic history begins. There's a set time. In the event that we do tshuva, then we can hasten the coming. Hayom in bekolo tishmo, today if you listen to God's voice, even if you are in Golas one day, says the Gemara, if you listen to God and you do tshuva, the redemption will come. So there's always the possibility that it will come earlier. But there's a set time, even in the event that Israel does not do tshuva. Let's go one step further. The question is, maybe,
how bad are we, really? Or let's ask the question in another way. What's the definition of tshuva? What is the definition of tshuva? I want to give you a few approaches. There's a Zohar in Parashat Noach. The Zohar in Parashat Noach talking about Rabbi Eliezer, who says, if Israel does tshuva, they are redeemed, and if they don't do tshuva, they're not redeemed. So you know what the Zohar says? Zohar says, you know what the meaning of tshuva according to Rabbi Eliezer is? It's not tshuva shel kol ha'am. He's not talking about tshuva of an entire people. No. If one community, if one group, if one Beit Knesset does tshuva, that is already enough for God to bring redemption.
Very fascinating statement.
In other words, what the Zohar is saying is that, you know, we can have our Rabbi Eliezer and Geula too. Understand? We can have both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, because the definition of tshuva is not what we think. We think that tshuva is every single Jew on the face of this earth, you understand, keeping Shabbos and eating kosher and keeping Taras HaMishpacha and not talking Lashon Hara. I mean, if that's what tshuva really is, so what's Mashiach going to have to do? I mean, there are enough unemployed. Do we need an unemployed Mashiach to? Mashiach is going to have a job to do. The definition of tshuva, according to the Zohar, the definition of tshuva is, if there's a group, if there's a community, if there are some Jews that have done tshuva, this is also considered tshuva. Let me read to you a Sfas Emes. I only discovered the Sfas Emes recently, and the more I look at it, the more it begins to grow on me. That we have no way of really judging anything. We don't know what's happening. Sfas Emes, the Gerer Rebbe, said the following. He's talking about the Gemara. The Gemara says that any generation in which the Beis HaMikdash was not rebuilt, it's as though it was destroyed in their days. Any generation, that means we're talking about all the generations since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. If the Beis HaMikdash was not rebuilt in their generation, it means it's as though it was destroyed. It means that they had not corrected all of those evils that brought about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. His question is beautiful. Even if he wouldn't answer it, the question is beautiful. Kashal Abdi says it's difficult to understand. There were many generations of tzaddike yayun, of great tzaddike. Shenoma, that we should be able to say, are you going to tell me on their days it is as though the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? Now, somebody can come along and listen, make a cheshbon, find Rishoyim in every generation. That's not what the Sfas Emes sees, you know what? He doesn't see the Rishoyim of the generation. He sees the Tzaddikei Olam of every generation. What marks a generation? The Tzaddikim? Or those that are not Tzaddikim? For the Sfas Emes, the mark of a generation is the Tzaddikim. So he says there were so many generations. What are you going to say on the generation of the Baal Shem that as though the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in his days, the generation of the Vilna Gaon? I want to be very even-handed over here. I mentioned the Baal Shem, I mentioned the Vilna Gaon. Take any generation you want throughout history. To what Tzaddik Yom says, can't be. You're going to tell me that in their generation it was destroyed? V'nidel Farish, says the Sfas Emes, it seems to me that the pshat is the following. Ki kol yimei hadoros mitstarfin, u'mitkamzin kol ha'arot shel avodat b'nei Yisrael lihiyotan ru'uyin l'geula. God keeps a cumulative accounting of all of the generations. Every generation, by its piety, adds to the Binyan Beit HaMikdash, to the ultimate construction of the Beit HaMikdash. That means the following. If we take a look at our generation, and we'll say, listen, there are so many Jews that are not Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs, so you know what that means? That means we see in God's bank, we have an overdraft. Oh, anachnu b'minus.
we are in minus.
The only thing is that the Rebbeinu Shimon has a completely different accounting system. The accounting system, let's say, it begins Avram. Chmeis Avram was worth a billion schus. Yitzchak after the Akeda was worth 2 billion. That gives me 3.
Yaakov and his 12 children, this is not a 13 billion, and taking into consideration the changes in the currencies, it may already be about 30, 40 billion that we already had in the bank 34,000 years ago. And that's been gathering interest, you understand? I mean, gathering interest. I mean, the pound can be tzishlugin. The dollar can fall. But there are zechuyot that began with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov.
Moshe. Incalculable how much Moshe added to the credit side of Klal Yisrael.
You go through all of the generations, the Nevi'im, Gedolei Yisrael, Chachmei Yisrael, Tzadikei Olam, Poshet Yidden, plain Jews, that for them every day of their identifying as a Jew was Mesiris Nefesh. All added up, it's not forgotten. The account doesn't begin in this generation. For all we know, before this generation began, we had an infinite number of billions of zchuyot on the credit side. So one generation, 100 years in which Jews were not what they should be, which can be blamed on the forces that came to bear upon us in the exile worse than we ever suffered. In the Rebbeinu's cheshbon, like, what are you talking about? So you, what, you think you had an overdraft? It's a few billion overdraft, but you have a, in the divine bank, you got enough schusim to keep you going for who knows how long.
Says the Svasemes says that that which brings to Geula is the cumulative accounting of all of the schusim of Klal Yisrael throughout history. Ki hayala al hadad, he takes the other side. Hayala al hadad, could it ever occur to you that the generation of redemption is going to be worthy of redemption in its own right?
You heard this about 100 years ago, or less.
Does it occur to you that, we live in the generation of redemption, and you know why redemption comes?
Just because of us.
The Rebbeinu Shlomo uns ins ungekickt, and he said, such a bunch, kund gula.
Hayal al adat, says the Svatim. Could it occur to you that they will be so worthy? Rak sheschut kol dor vador. Ozer, the worthiness, the merit of every generation helps maybe ma'ab binyan beis hamikdash.
In each generation, a little bit of the Bet HaMikdash was built.
So therefore he says, all of those generations of tzaddikei ayyan, the word doesn't mean it is as though it was destroyed in their days. No, no, no. In their days, they were putting the way in the account, in the beis hamikdash account, every generation was building with its tzaddikim and with its simple people. All of the schusim, all of them, from one generation to the next.
So therefore he says,
the building of the Beis HaMikdash continues through all of the days of the Galut, Kimamar, as it says, Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem, or Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed is God, Bonei Yerushalayim. It's an ongoing process. Not Bono, not that he built, not Yivneh, but Bonah, in every generation, everybody put away all sorts of schusim in the divine accounting. And all of them cumulatively. In other words, we become the beneficiaries. Listen.
Es ist ins Gefallen ein Yerusha. You know, we got an inheritance.
We got an inheritance, that's all. Allein reich. We are not rich on our own account. We are rich because we got a Yerusha.
What do we say in davening?
V'zocher chazdei avos, umevi goel, livnei v'nehem, l'man shemo, bi'ahava. Do you know how many things are being said in that one sentence at the beginning of Shemona Ezei? So, first of all, zocher, God remembers chazdei avos, the kindness of the avos. That means all the generations. Goes the bank. Umevi goel, he brings a redeemer, livnei v'nehem, to their einiklach.
L'man shemo. And another reason is, And this we said earlier, all the pasuk lemani lemani, yes, I'm doing it for my sake, because the name of God is desecrated when Jews suffer. And then ultimately, what can he do? They're his children too, and therefore it comes be ahava, with love, with love. And therefore he ends by saying, that the Gemara means she'ein nivne b'yamav. When the Gemara says that a person in whose days the Beit HaMikdash is not built, it's as though it was destroyed in his days. In other words, a person who may have been part of a generation that didn't add anything to the divine account. So that the Beit HaMikdash was not being built in terms of the greater account. V'chol Adam Efrat, Gam Kein Tzorach Leida. Each and every individual has to know, whatever we do helps in Binyan Beit HaMikdash. Every one of our susim goes into an account, goes into the Binyan Bayit bank, into that account from which Binyan Bayit will come. A Ramban. I think that this is a Ramban maybe that we can appreciate more than most others. More than most others. Do you know what the Ramban says in one of his writings? In the Kitvei Ramban on Shir HaShirim, the Ramban says, B'dor shekulo chayev, he writes, in a generation that is unworthy. Do you know what's going to help bring Geula? Zechut HaMila. The schut of the mitzvah of Mila, circumcision. I ask you, has there been a generation that even approaches this generation in terms of the commitment to Torah that comes even from people that may not know what it all means? The mitzvah of Mila that Ramban wrote 700-800 years ago. The mitzvah of Mila is going to be the schut that will make us worthy. He doesn't say Shabbos or Kashrus. We may have nothing left but that. Do we have to tell all of the stories of Jews in Russia who had their children undergo Mila, even though it was a Mesiras Nefesh? Yes, Mesiras Nefesh. Do we know what it means? Adults undergoing Mila as they come to our so like this is understood the schus of the mitzvah of Mila. Let me read something else to you. Before you know it, what I'm really going to have you convinced of is that the process of Geula in which we find ourselves is not only a Rebbe Yehoshua Geula, which comes because even though there's been no tshuva, no. It may even be that Rabbi Eliezer would say, you know what? The time has come. The Tzidkas HaTzadik. The Tzadik HaKoin Milublin. The Tzadik HaKoin Milublin. If any one of us would have written this sentence, we most probably would have been ostracized, put us in cheirem, and there'd be big wall posters around Yerushalayim against us. But the Rav Tzadik HaKohen Milublin, Tzadik Yisod Olam, Ikar Hayadut B'Kriyat Shem Yisrael, the main principle of Yadut is being called a Jew. Kemoshadama, as it says. Maybe if I want to be a little technical, not only being called a Jew, being called a Yisrael. A Yisrael. Kemoshadama, Pasuk Yishayahu, chapter 44. Zeyomar, in time of Geula, Zeyomar, there is the one who will say, Lashem Ani. In other words, there will be those who will say, you know, I'm ashamed of Torah mitzvahs. And then there's going to be the masses that B'Shem Yisrael Yechuneh. They will be known as Israel, Israelis, Jews, Yevrei, Judah. Be known as a Jew. Shelo yi elorak malazu.
Shemechuna b'shem Yisrael, if a person has no other advantage, nothing else going for him, except this, that he has, he's called a Jew, die. Enough. Enough.
That's not as close to Klaus. I mean, I couldn't have said it. But Rav Tzadik HaKohen Lublin can say it. It means that the very fact that there are people who continue to maintain and say, yes, I am a Jew, I am an Israeli, that's also fine. B'shem Yisrael, Yechuna. This schud alone is die. That's enough. That's also called tshuva. Or
Rabbeinu B'chaya, the Kavakelach, says, "Im atem b'vakshim lihigael, if you want to be redeemed, batshu rachamim lefonav, v'shuvu min hagaluyot uvol liYerushalayim. Come back from the exile and return to Yerushalayim." The return to Yerushalayim, the return to Eretz Yisrael physically, also counts as tshuva. Said not only by Rishon, but also said by the Meshech Chochma. The Meshech Chochma says the one who returns to his land and to his people will ultimately return to God. As we say, something has to be left for Mashiach to do, and something has to be left for the Rebbein Shem to do. That means return to Eretz Yisrael is also called tshuva. The Jew
who is ready to be Moser Nefesh for Klal Yisrael, that's also considered tshuva. I mean, we have had in our generation every young soldier who's ready to give his life, and none of those who've given their lives, Ein Lecha Mesirat Nefesh Gedolim Yisrael, there's no greater Mesirat Nefesh. There are terms that become cheapened in Jewish life, and I think we have to put the terms back where they belong. The term Holocaust Nebuch has been cheapened. Any place a few people are killed, or somebody has upset the ecology and some fish died, it's a Holocaust. Everything is going on a Holocaust. Ein lecha Holocaust ella echad. There's only one Holocaust. Everything else is a cheapening of it. The term dare not be used about anything else. Unfortunately, there's a world out there that doesn't want to cheapen it, and therefore they will use the term Holocaust about anything that takes place, even to Israeli soldiers running after terrorists on the West Bank. This is also a Holocaust. Everything's a Holocaust. Ein Holocaust. There's only one Holocaust. There's another term that's been cheapened. Mesiras Nefesh. I don't know. Somebody's going to get up for 2 weeks during the year to say Slich is going to get up 15 minutes earlier. Boy, he serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mesiras Nefesh. What Mesiras Nefesh for Yiddish guy? I mean, all sorts of things are Mesiras Nefesh. Person, you know, puts in effort to do a mitzvah. Chesed. Mitzvahs are good. Chesed is good. Getting up in the morning for slichas is good. As somebody told me, understand the women, their period of time is you understand Pesach during Zayis Gemitchit. The men get Zayis Gemitchit during slichas time. My wife says, no. The women have a much worse Pesach time than we have slichas time. Yeah. If we won't go to slichas on Rosh Hashanah, and people still come. If she doesn't get the house ready for Pesach, it's Ein Ofen Pesach. All right. Okay, I see that I've been kind of points for generations with all of my students, or most of my students here. Yeah, all right. Mesiras Nefesh, there is Mesiras Nefesh, there's self-sacrifice. And there's, an imitation of Mesiras Nefesh. Young soldier who's ready to give his life, or Nebuch, the one who gives his life, that's Mesiras Nefesh. It is a term that dare not be cheapened for any little effort that one has done as a mitzvah, zet mitzvah, one sees it already in the grandiose terms of Mesiras Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh and Mesiras Nefesh, that is part of tshuva. There's a great deal more to be said, but I've taken the approach now that even according to
Rebbe Eliezer, either if we look at the Zohar, or if we look at the Sfas Emes, if we look at the Ramban, if we look at the Kad HaGemach, it's either because the tshuva of individuals or a group also is considered tshuva. Mila is also a schus. There's the cumulative schus of all generations, according to the Sfas Emes. There is the return to Eretz Yisrael, that is a halacha return. Mesiris Nefesh B'Klal Yisrael. Reb Tzadik HaKohen Milublin. The name Israel is already dies good enough. Already for Gula. Ultimately, in the final analysis, the Parsha in Torah and the Rambam. And with that, we close. If one takes a closer look at the Parsha that we read, Parsha Nitzavim, we talked about all of the repetition. Once b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha, twice b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha, the third time b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. There was Toshuv, you will return, and then you're going to return again, and then v'shavta, and then v'yato Toshuv. A simple reading without going into the details of the Pesukim, you know what the Pesuk is, the Parsha is describing? The Parsha is describing a process. Neither does Geula come in one single instant of time, nor does Tshuva come in one instant of time. We cannot be absolutely certain what takes place at each stage. Maybe at stage one it is Jews who call themselves Jews. Maybe at stage two it's Jews who are ready to give their lives for their fellow Jews. The ultimate tshuva is that you're going to return to do all of the mitzvot, kechol, everything that's written in this Sefer Torah. There's a process. Klal Yisrael is not going to change dramatically and shake off all of the horrible influences of 1900 years of Golos. There is a process. And what the Passover here is describing is a process. Again return, again bringing back. And then in the middle of that process, you know who takes the responsibility himself? Pasuk 6, Umol Hashem Elokecha et Levavcha, God is the one who is going to form, forge and shape your heart. The Rebbeinu is going to have a big job. The Rebbeinu, it's going to be his responsibility. You go through chapter 36 in Yecheskel, you're going to see that Yecheskel says, I'm going to give you a new heart, I'm going to give you a heart of flesh in place of a heart of stone. I am going to sprinkle upon you the waters of purification. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring Klal Yisrael back. He owes us one. He owes us a big one. And it's all part of this process. The Rambam, therefore, who says that there is no tshuva, there is no geula without tshuva, it's not necessarily because he's paskening like Rebbe Eliezer. He may be paskening like Rebbe Yeshua, but you have to listen to the words of the Rambam carefully. The Rambam says, "En Yisrael nigola nela b'tshuva, Israel is not redeemed without tshuva, or kvar hivticha Torah, the Torah has already guaranteed that Yisrael will do tshuva b'sof galutam, at the end of their galos, shesof Yisrael, Lasso, tshuva, besov, galutam, uses the word sof, end, twice. The end is going to be that Jews are going to do tshuva at the end of their exile, miyad hinigolan, and immediately they're redeemed. Do you know what the Rambam is talking about? The Rambam is talking about the end of the process. What do you think the end of the process is going to be? That was the question we asked on Rabbi Yeshua. Does Rabbi Yeshua really mean that even if there's no tshuva, Jews will be redeemed, and we're going to have a Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to have a Mashiach over here, and Jews are going to go out being Mechal Shabbos and Eichli Treifes? And taken over to Mishra HaChinuch. Is that what's going to be? Of course that's not what he means. Even Rabbi Yeshua, what Rabbi Yeshua means is that the process begins even if Israel has not done tshuva. They may be worthy on all sorts of other accounts. The beginning of the process. The end of the process. V'hoi Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz v'yam ahu yi Hashem echad v'shmar echad. God is going to be the king of the whole world. From Yerushalayim shall go out Torah to the whole world. V'nod ole elef kol ha'goyim, all the nations of the world are going to come for inspiration to Yerushalayim. Which means that even of Yeshua agrees that the ultimate, the end of the process, as the Rambam says, kvar hivticha Torah shesof Yisrael la'asot tshuva, the end is that Israel is going to do tshuva. But does tshuva have to be the catalyst that begins the process? Says Rabbi Yeshua, no. Even if they have not done tshuva, the process begins. The time has come.
Ein lechotetz migulam izo. No greater revealed end of days. It's as long as exporting food, then we're in the process of reishit tzimichat gulateinu. It may very well be the result of all sorts of schuyot. Maybe it's because of the mitzvah of Mila. Who knows what it is? Maybe it's because Jews, yes, walk around being called Jews and being called Israel. It wasn't terribly popular. What did the Chamban say at the end of Hazinu? Whether they like it or not, we are living in a period of Harininu Goyim Amo, where the nations of the world sing begrudgingly the praises of Klal Yisrael. It was not so when Jews came back at the time of Bayit Sheni, but in our period, there's no question about it. Begrudging with their hatred, there's a tremendous respect for Klal Yisrael, a respect that did not exist when Ezra and Nehemiah with his 42,000 came back. It's Harininu Goyim Amo. It is a period of time during which Adam Yochum and Nochum with Son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take revenge and avenge the blood of his servants. V'chiper Admato Amo. The beginning of that process takes place in Eretz Yisrael and through Eretz Yisrael. So that, yes, Geula and Tshuva are interrelated in terms of what ultimately will be end of the process of Geula. The end of the process clearly is Tshuva. Ksiva Maksima Teva, everybody. I did present you. Okay.